to share this for just a moment here. Moses was supposed to speak to the rock. And instead of speaking to the rock, he smote the rock. And in doing so, God said to him, because you did that, you didn't listen to me. He said, you're not going over. You're not going over to the land of promise. You're not going over the Jordan River. And Moses sought him three times. And God said, I'm sorry, but you're not going. You know, there are things that we can do that may not seem like it's very, very important. But, you know, that could be the most important thing that we have to do. We have to realize that about God and what he's trying to teach us. You know, he's obligated to teach us as we would teach our children. Now, there isn't a person in this room that would abuse their child and burn them or do crazy things to them. But you might ask them to go cut a limb that they need a little hickory tea. Some of you know what that is, and some of you don't. But anyhow, in this case, and it was sad, Moses was 120 years old, and God told him, I want you to go up the mountain, and I want you to take a look. And he went up there. The word of God says that he was strong. He wasn't disabled. His eyes were still clear. He had all his faculties, and he just died up there. I want to share this with you. You know, dying is not a thing that has to have a terrible affliction. In fact, it doesn't teach that in the Word. Or dying is just simply when your spirit leaves your body. And I just saw somebody die in that way, and it was very powerful. And she just, she didn't fight it. And she was of good age, and she said, I know I'm going. I'm happy to be going. And it's just the leaving of your spirit out of your body. And so I don't believe that you have to be sick to die. It just has to be your time. In the book of Genesis, chapter 26, God said this, my spirit will not always strive with mankind. Man's days will be 120 years. And that's about the most that we can live. Now, there's been people that's lived a little longer than that. But there's most people don't get anywhere near that. But I think a healthy thing for us to do before God is to try to live out what God says is ours, what belongs to us. Now, let me read verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And then it goes on to describe when and where. And but so let's jump down at verse 5. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. So here's something that you need to understand, because verse 6 is for you. God is speaking to you and I right here. Be strong and of a good courage. I think that that's what you have to be a believer today, at any time, okay? Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And this book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, that's not a mistake. I'll explain that in a moment. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in my word, okay? For then, okay, everybody say then. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Amen and amen and amen. There's something to do, and it has to do with the Word of God. I think a person that attends church and is not, and the Word of God is not part of their life, and they don't know the Word, and they don't meditate on the Word, which means to take that those certain verses at certain times, like Philippians 4:13. When you run up against a challenge, you know what that Philippians 4:13 says? Do you? What does it say? Amen. Amen. He's been listening, because I've said that verse over and over again. That's a good thing. And you know, when you come up against something that says you're not going to make it, you say Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? And you know what? When you come up against financial problems, what you have to do is look in the Word of God. And you have to see how to spend your money and what's possible. And you have to realize this, Philippians 4:19. Does anybody know what Philippians 4:19 says? My God. Everybody say, my God. Is he your God tonight? Because if he is, that's an important thing. And you just say, and you don't live in fear. You're, when you come up against a financial struggle, you look to God and you realize this here, and you begin to say it. It will not depart, Joshua, out of your mouth. You speak the word, and you say, bless God in the name of Jesus. I know I'm up against something, but according to Philippians 4:19, my God, see, he's my God. See, he's my God, shall supply all of my needs according to what he has, according to his riches and glory, through the finished work on the cross of Christ Jesus. I've been living like this for years, and I found that the word tells us as we go on that you can live debt-free, and I've been living debt-free for years. I built this church on the debt-free principle, God, my family, and myself, and we're debt-free. And we stay as much as we can. We stay that way. We're debt-free. We're most of the time. And, you know, you can be and should be debt-free. You shouldn't have to live with all the stress and problems, but you have to act on the word. You have to find out how to do that. Now, we're not going to teach about how to live debt-free tonight, but you know what? I was showing somebody before church. I'm going to do it right now. Okay. I mean, Google Bible verses on living debt-free. Just go. Proverbs 22:7, Romans 13:8, Proverbs 22:26, and it goes on and on and on. And see, it's your life. And if you're not interested in caring about your life, there's one thing I've learned in soul winning and being a pastor. You can't want something for somebody more than they want it. You know, if you tell them what it is, how it works, every service, there's somebody behind this holy desk that's telling you how it works, how God and his plan works, okay? And a church attender that doesn't have an identity, a deep identity with the Word of God, something like Matthew 4 and Luke 4, where Jesus tells the devil, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. Say every word. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And people that go to any church, okay, and all they do is attend church, and they don't know the word, and they don't know the promises, they're church attenders. They're just church, and that's good. I'd rather be doing that than something terrible. But really, without the word, and I say this with all the respect and love that I can, we are nothing without the word of God. It's like a puppy without his mother's first milk. That puppy's going to die. So that's the first place that I wanted to. And once again, what you see here, what we have to do is we have to be according. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. And you know what? That is talking about a deeper thing than just studying and writing down. It's saying that when it's called meditation, and biblical meditation on the word is this. You find a promise in God's word. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. That's the highest level of truth in my life. I'm doing everything I can, Lord. I'm doing what you say, and I believe it. And we stood for years and years and years and years, Millie and I, in the word, in the promises of the word, still learning them every day, still in the word, in the word, in the word. You don't get the main part if you don't become a Jesus person with a Bible. Let me tell you, I am so, by what I've seen happen in society, I used to say I was a word of faith person. I used to say I was a charismatic. I used to say I was a full gospel type. But you know, as I've seen people that claim to be those things do certain things that I don't agree with, all I can tell you, and the safest thing I think you can say is, I'm just the Jesus person with a Bible. That's all you got to be. Amen? And you got to be both of those to go to heaven. I really believe that. I don't believe that you can pay somebody enough to do all your Bible studying for you. And if all you get is Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and there's not... At some point, what we're trying to do is get you in the Word. Your life is in the Word. Your success is in the Word of God and what you know about the 7,500 promises that God has to mankind. And you know how to institute them. And you know what? There's about, 20 people here? Not everybody may agree with that. Can I tell you something? I'm good with that. That's fine. But I'm going to share what works for me and what works for the people of God. Now, I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 28, and I'm going to read in another translation, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. This is the last of the blessing series. Don't even think we are out of stuff to say about it. Word. Don't even think that. This is just that we've been, this is, I think, message number 9. And I'm going to show you how do we get it and what it is that we get right in 14 verses. Deuteronomy 28, beginning at verse 1. I'm in the New Living Translation myself. I think that's what's up there. It says this, if you fully obey the Lord your God, and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the world, and you will experience all these blessings if you obey your God. And what is being said here is you can't hardly obey if you don't. If you don't know the word, you don't know what to obey. I hope that makes sense to you. And I hope nobody feels like, oh, shucks, I wish there was another way. Well, I love this way. I understand this way, what it means, how it works. And then it begins to talk about some blessings. And some of them, you might have to meditate on to think about them. But I'm going to read them to you. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. You give me a community that serving God and the whole town, the whole community will be blessed. Then it says this, and I think you'll understand part of this. Your children and your crops will be blessed, or your children and your job, or your children and your work will be blessed if you get into and know the Word of God. You know, I think, well, I'm not even going to say that. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and your breadboards will be blessed. It's all the result of doing 28, 1 and 2, if you do that. Now, I love this here. I think everybody will understand this. Verse 6, wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. Verse 7, the Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. Look here. Here's another verse. When a man's ways please the Lord, can anybody finish that verse? Makes even your enemy. See, this girl has been in here for a long time. I've wondered about her a lot of times, but I want to tell you one thing. She's put that word in herself. And unless until you do that, unless you do that, you've got some serious, according to this Bible, you got problems. You've got to know the Word. That's what the Word says. Okay. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven different directions. Here we go. Somebody's getting something out of this. They love the Word. All I'm doing, you know what? I'm just reading the promises of God tonight. This is just what's, and you know what? To a lot, every time that I've done what I was supposed to be, can I tell you something? That's exactly the way things happen. Every time I strayed, God just, and got out of the Word and knew the Word and didn't do the Word, I did not do as good. I can tell you that. There's a devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he'll try to talk you out of your walk with God if you're not careful. Now, if this is unpleasant to anybody, I don't want to say I'm sorry. I'm just giving you the Word. I'm smiling, so I'm not. Some people look at my head, come here. I like to punch that angel right in the face. Verse 8, the Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do. Now, you know what that doesn't mean? That doesn't mean that you can do anything you want to. That means that you study the words, and it's kind of like the song. You realize there's things he don't want you to do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Because there's a Father up above who is looking down in love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. Okay. And then be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little mouth, what you speak. See, when you begin to, you don't just learn the promises of God. You learn what God says is the way to live. Look it. He's got all the, he built us. I think he knows how he built us to live and the way we're supposed to work. And man, with the help of the booger man, has twisted things. We've twisted and twisted to where there's not, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's, I'll put it to you this way. Any church that doesn't encourage you to know the Word of God and to live by the Word of God is not helping you. And if they make you think that you can just give them some money or just stay where they are and that you're going to be okay, that's not helping you. Verse 9, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. In other words, a church that doesn't do what God says is not a Jesus church. You got to be trying to do. Does people make mistakes? Yeah, I make a lot of them. I'm not up here because I haven't made mistakes. I'm up here because I've lived through my mistakes. I've taken my licks. And I've lived this word for a long, long time in my life. And I can look each and every one of you in the eye and tell you what I'm sharing. That's just the way it is for all of us, for everybody, no matter what denomination is. And at 74, I'm no longer, I am interdenominational, but I don't, one's as good as the other. And I have found Jesus saves people in every denomination. And I've preached in many of them, okay? It's not in being interdenominational. It's not in using our kind of music. It's what you do with your life that's important, that makes you a Christian, that makes you a believer. And anything different, I'm sorry, it won't work. Anything different than what God says in his word, is it hard to understand? I graduated high school. I started two or three in college, but I never finished any of them. But you know what? I can read the Bible. And I've read the Bible when I first got saved, I read the Bible and read the Bible and got away in my room and was getting healed up. And I read the Bible till I began to realize the Bible was reading me. The Bible was telling me right where I was, and I was able to make the correction in my life. Is God patient? I don't know anybody more patient. Is God loving? I don't know anybody more loving. And I say this, and it's important that you hear it maybe tonight. God isn't as interested in what you did yesterday as he is in what are you going to do today to make tomorrow better? Because we're about to take communion, which has to do with let a man examine himself, let a person examine himself, and then take communion. And when you're examining your life and God shows you something that's not right, what does he want? He wants you to confess it. He wants you to say, you see, you can't keep saying, you can't be in denial about if there's error in your life. You can be in denial to your friends and other humans, but to God, it really works if you're honest with him. And if you then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And if you're honest with God, he knows your heart. Nobody, the heart is deceitful, Jeremiah 17, and wicked. Who can know it? And then before the next verse says, I know it. I'm the only one that knows it. I know your heart better than you do. That's why we need to just commit to the Lord every day. Work his program every day of our life. If we drop the ball for a day or a week or a month or a year, pick it up while there's still hope. Get with the Lord. Then all the nations, verse 10, of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. Verse 11, the Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. Verse 12, the Lord will send rain at the proper time. Now, I was looking, and today was supposed to be a washout, and I just started praying for our folks. We've got about 40 people, between 30 and 40 people here at this location that help us. And there was about that many today. And all of a sudden I looked and it changed. And I believe that had to do with God, personally. You know, in all of the years that we've had Harvest Fest, we have never been rained out, washed out, or made all the years over and over and over and over since the first one was in the fall of 1987. And every year since then, we have never been washed out, rained out, drowned out, burnt out. We never have. Why? Because we just were regular folks, and we just tried to do the best we could with the Lord. And one of the things that has always been taught here is that your answer's in the Word of God. It's not in me. You can't go to heaven by Angelo or by anybody else. You got to go to heaven by your walk with God. And there are whole denominations, and I won't mention any of them, that teach way different than that because they don't believe that. Next verse. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work that you do. The Lord will bless the work that you do. Okay? You will, now, I didn't write this. I do live this. You will lend to many, but you will never need to borrow from any. I guess I have to say I'm sorry. All the problems I see on the news, and people are living off of their credit cards, and they're not able to keep up with them. That's a sad time in America. But I'm not the only one like this. I know people that are living debt-free. And you know what? If you purpose in your heart to live debt-free, you can live debt-free. Now, there's one person nodding his head back there, and that's the Apostle Paul. Because he lives that way. They have learned to live that way. And it's where your priorities are and how much you love God and how much you trust in his word. If he says if you do things this way that they're going to work good for you, I'm just stupid enough to believe it. And every time, and there's been many times, I tried to do things my way, it just didn't work out. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never, the Bible says that you will never need to borrow from them. If 1,522 ifs in the King James translation of the Bible, which tells you one thing. The promises of God are stipulatory. You've got to do something his way to get the result. And anybody that does things his way will get the same result. He's no respecter of person. Verse 13, if you listen to these commands of the Lord, your God, that I am giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top and never on the bottom. You must not turn away from any of the commands I'm giving you today, nor follow after the gods and worship, other gods and worship them. Praise God. That's all I'm going to give you on that subject. And I shared with you on a subject that I've experienced the blessings of God and how to get them. I don't know it all, but I know some. And what I know has helped me. And I've got this here, and I'm so happy. Thank you for every person that wrote down something you'd like to hear taught here on Wednesday nights. And I'm just going to read some of them. And I'm going to sit down right here at the top of this stair. Can you all see me good enough? And by the way, if you weren't here last week, if you have a topic that you would like me to teach on Wednesday night, if you'll put it on a slip of paper. Now, I'm going to start one at a time. We'll get as many as we can, and we'll start teaching these next Wednesday. Purpose in suffering, humility, the need for faith in your life, facing giants because God is with you, denying doubt and fear, Joseph in prison, finding identity in Christ, spiritual disciples, gift of salvation, being the hands and feet of Jesus. Now, there's several in there. I'm going to teach at least one thing out of that. Repentance and forgiveness to walk with Jesus. I don't think that's asking too much. I'm gonna teach something out of that. And I would like the kids that want to help with communion to come sit with me up here. And then I'm going to get Brother Frank and Brother Sam, each one of them, to lead one of these gangs right here. Last Supper. You want to know about the Last Supper and the prophets. I'm going to teach something about that. Are you saved for sure or claim to be? Practicing forgiveness, managing emotions, handling conflict, discipleship, decision making, and the parables of Jesus. I'm going to teach at least one thing off of this here. Now, I'm going to share what I believe. Coco, I want you to take these. These are the ones I read. And I want you to put them up there, and I'm going to take them home with me. I'm not going to lose them. It's time for us to take communion. You cannot take communion too much. It means a lot. And it starts, true communion starts with examining yourself, making an altar, and examining yourself before God privately, just you and the Lord. If you would, make an altar where you are or however you can, you know, and if you can't bend over, if you can't sit down or bow your head, do something and I'm going to do that. Couldn't tell. He looked half mad at me. And I don't know. Everybody. Now, Frank, if you would, Sam, if you would, come up here. And kids, go. I'm glad praise and worship team, I'm so proud of them. I'm proud of all these kids. Some of you kids go that away with